Amen. I guess we sort of continuing on, really don't have a full name for this, but we talked last Sunday on our supreme identity, and the Lord had us to reiterate that on Wednesday. And so I want to continue talking in that vein. So let's just begin with a reminder. Again, our supreme identity. Supreme, again, means, hold on one second, ultimate, greatest, number one, before all else, and superior. Our supreme identity, condition, or character as to who a person is. The qualities that distinguish or make them different from others. The set of characteristics by which a person is definitively recognized or known. Remember that? The state of remaining the same under varying aspects or conditions. Sameness of essential character in different instances. You don't change. You're solid. You're firm. We don't, just because circumstance A happened or this aspect B has happened, that we begin to change. But we are solid and firm under all circumstances. The condition of being oneself and not another. And who are we supremely? We are children of God, first and foremost. Our supreme identity is not our ethnicity, it's not our culture, it is not our color, it is not our status, it is not our social and economic status, it is not who we are in society, it is not our looks, it is not our age, it is not anything external or physical, first and foremost. We are spiritual beings, first and foremost. We went over this last Sunday, that our culture and our ethnicity and things are not to be overlooked in a sense, because God made us black and he made us white and he made us with culture, was made us with certain ethnicity, which leads to an outgrowth of culture. But that's not who we primarily are. We need to remember that. It's important that we remember that. We talked about the dangers of thinking ethnically. Just another reminder, turn over to Galatians chapter 3. I think this is something we need to keep reading and keep reminding and keep hearing over and 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 over. Keep reminding and keep hearing. Galatians 3, you know the verse, but Lord God, help us to see it in a different light this morning in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians 3 and 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek, right? That's the natural. That's the natural, right? That's your ethnicity. There's neither slave nor free. That is also natural, referring to your status, societal status. They're neither male or female. That's natural, dealing with your gender. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's spiritual. You see how the three, Jew or Greek, is natural. Slave or free is referring to the natural. Male or female is all natural. Then he says we are all one. We're neither those things. And again, realize that it's not saying that we are no longer a female or a male. You are still male, female, you're still black or white, you're still whatever your social and economic economic standing is, you're still those things. But what the apostle, what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul, that in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek. In Christ Jesus, there's neither slave nor free. In Christ Jesus, there's neither male or female, because everybody is one. And the only way you arrive at that and receive that and embrace that is that we flip in our mind who we are first and foremost, because that's how the Lord God Almighty sees us through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church of Galatia, reminding them we're all one. Don't get hung up on culture, ethnicity, status, none of those things. Don't get hung up on that. So then the church of Galatia know, hey, in Christ Jesus, we're one. But you don't get that unless you understand who you are first and foremost. Just want to remind you of that. I want to just quickly go over briefly on this and we'll move on. This is still review. The danger in not knowing or remembering of who you are first and foremost. We said last Sunday that the greatest danger is that we began to think ethnically. There's a danger to thinking ethnically rather than spiritually. Then that meaning thinking ethnically, then leads us to reason and to speak and to act ethnically based on what you're thinking. Remember, what you think affects what you say and do. And then us beginning to reason and to speak and to act ethnically leads to emotions that are produced because of our thinking, reasoning, and speaking and acting ethnically. And those emotions can lead to, and here's the danger of it all, irrationality, us being unreasonable, unloving, unmerciful, angry, hateful, being unforgiving, being unloving. Why? Because you count first. You are what matters most. And when anything offends your ethnicity, it becomes like the forefront of all of our thinking. And in our, sometimes we're like a bull in a china shop or a bull chasing the red thing there. You just headlong in. Sometimes our ethnicity is that cape. And when things happen, boy, you know, they ain't gonna do us this way. They've been doing us this way for 400 years, and we just not, you know, we just go ahead and plow through them and stepping all over the things that, or completely discounting the things that God hates and stepping on the things he loves, all trying to get to our equal spot or something that avenges us. And if our ethnicity has a preeminence, then we're going to hate and love what we hate and love first and foremost, even sometimes over and above God. And so just want to remind us that having that mindset is no light thing. Okay, that's review. So having said that, where do we go from here? Let's go back to Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119, let's go there. While you're going there, let's remember this, that when you and I are in the right mindset and have the right frame of mind that we're spirit beings first, then the Word of God then becomes your all in all, and not the news, social media, anything out there. The Word of God becomes your all in all. Look at verse 24. Out of all of these, verse 24 is where I really want us to focus on, and we'll go from there. Psalm 119, verse 24. We're going to read together. 3, 2, 1, read. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. That's a key word. I'm not getting counsel from the world. We actually are in a lot of areas. That's why we're starting with this verse. Counsel means to give counsel, to deliberate, purpose, to determine, to give advice, to guide. Is the word of God advising us? Is the word of God counseling us? Is the word of God guiding us? Is it giving us purpose and reason? We talked on Wednesday how, and we'll get to this later, how terminology and things that are being said out there, we're taking on their vocabulary. And we don't realize that when we do, it's pulling us from the Word of God. It can pull us because we don't fully all know what's going on behind the scenes. And then this, verse 24, does not become our counselor. See, thinking ethnically damages the Word of God being your counselor. Because if something is happening out there that's ethnic and you don't like it, and then we, unbeknownst to us, not that it's on purpose, we'll start, unbeknownst to us, listening to solutions out there. And so out there starts to counsel us. And we don't realize that we walked away from the only counsel that a spirit being first is supposed to listen to. This is only our counsel, period. The Word of God is our counselor, our advisor. It gives us guidance. Isn't that what lamp to your feet, light to your path means? Yeah, dude, but we don't. We just say, sometimes we just start saying stuff. So, Father God, let this set in our spirits that your word, first and foremost, is to counsel and guide and to give us advice, give us purpose and understanding. All is to come from your word. Now, having said that, we're going to just take a tram ride through Psalm 119. Let's go back to verse 9, please. Go back to verse 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Verse 9 of Psalm 119. With my half of a heart and another half in the world, I will see. Huh? What is it? What about three quarters of the heart? Whole. Huh? Listen to that now. With my whole heart, I seek you. No matter how I'm feeling, no matter what sort of ethnic unrest and things are going on, or who's president and who's not, with my whole heart, what am I going to do? Seek you. And then what does that mean, seeking you? So if I seek you, then he says, let me not wander from your commandments. Uh-oh, when we start listening to the world, when we start listening to society, listening to the news, listening to social media, and accepting theirs as some sort of direction and counsel, we are wandering from God's commandments. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. He's the most subtle beast of the field. We've been reading this now for almost a month. But do we really understand? Oh, let me not wander. Not only, yes, wander indeed. You know, yes, don't let me start doing things. But also wander in thought. Mm-hmm. Wander in speech. Because we're listening to somebody else. Keep a marker there, please. And let's turn over to Genesis chapter 3. You know the story, Adam and Eve have sinned. They ran from God, made themselves some loincloths. The Lord God came, and they hid themselves. Verse 9, the Lord God said to the man, the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" I love that question, because does God not know where Adam is as far as locatively? I don't know if that's a word or not. Yes, he does. What God is trying to do, I believe, is trying to get Adam to understand where you are. Adam, where are you? You need to ask yourself that question. We need to ask ourselves that question. When we slip into thinking ethnically, when we slip into identifying ourselves ethnically first, supremely, we need to let the Holy Ghost hear him saying, "Where are you?" Oh, I'm in Blackville. I'm on Negro Street, and I'm in Black Alley. That's where I am. Everything black. And I'm thinking black, and I'm mad. And so when the Holy Ghost comes and says, "Where are you?" That's a one of these like, oh, wow. You know, it's for us to look at ourselves and come out of this stupor that we've been hypnotized with by out there. Where are you? And you need to ask yourself that question right now. Well, after the sermon, because we keep listening right now, but as a where am I? And then he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, and the Lord said, Lord God Almighty said, "Who told you that you were naked?" That's where I want to focus. Who have you been listening to? Do you see that? Can you see that question in there? Because if somebody told you something, that means you had to listen. We're doing, as Christians, too much listening out there. And we're spouting things. And the Lord is saying to us symbolically, metaphorically, spiritually speaking, who told you that? Where are you getting your information from? Mm-hmm. That's one of the dangers of thinking ethnically, of identifying yourself supremely according to the flesh. You begin to listen to things that sort of tickle your ears, meaning that are pleasing to you, but may not be to God. Who told you? I had someone call me yesterday evening, highly emotional, tears of great joy. Thank you for the teaching on Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you. He said, we are being fooled and we are not discerning. And we are not. That's a instant encouragement to me. Thank you, sir. You are welcome. Very emotional, tears. And he said, "I heard it, I just cried. I was so grateful somebody is exposing this." He's the most subtle beast of the field. Just for your eyeballs, go back to verse 1, then we'll move on. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field." More crafty. More subtle, more crafty. Let that sit in your thinking. Having said that, let's go back to Psalm 119. With my whole heart, verse 10, Psalm 119, verse 10. I said verse 9, I'm sorry, verse 10. "With my whole heart, I will seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." Let me not wander in thought. Let me not wander in word. Let me not wander in deed from your commandments. If I were you, I would make a notation somewhere near that word wander. Let me not wander in thought. Let me not wander in word. Let me not wander in deed. It's not just enough. You and I both know this, to externally look like we're doing okay. Amen. That's garbage.
Lord, I don't want to want even a thought. Amen. Even no one knows I'm wandering but you. But I know that if I wander in thought, I've just positioned myself in a dangerous place. Mm-hmm. And you know what, y'all? We can wander and not even know that we're wandering. That's why we need to pray, oh Lord, let me not wander from your thoughts. Father God, I pray it over us right now. Let us not wander in thought. Let us not wander in speech, let us in word, and let us not wander in action from your commands, your word. Let us not wander from your word. Because we can, unbeknownst to us, do that because of the subtlety of Satan. We thank you through the Holy Spirit that he exposes his devices of which we are not ignorant of. Amen. Oh, let us not wander in Jesus' name. Amen. And let your word continue to be our counselor. Let it continue to guide us. Let it continue to counsel us in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a prayer to pray, isn't it, y'all? Amen. Verse 11 of Psalm 119. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you walk away from the counsels of God, start listening to other people. Do you think that honors God? I don't think there's not one legitimate Christian that can say that honors God. And even when we wander and don't know we're wandering, that doesn't honor God either. You know, we are still culpable, saints. I think we need to understand that too. Right. When you wander, we're still responsible.
That's right.
Because he's saying, I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you my word. What more do you need? I gave you the power. Your spirit, I rose from the dead, performing the possibly the greatest miracle that could ever happen to a human being, and that is that his dead spirit is actually resurrected from the dead unto life spiritually, so that I positioned you to understand and know my commands.
Amen. Amen.
So when you wander, that's on you, that's on me, it's not on him. That's why we need to learn. That's why we need to.
Sorry. Who would you like to call?
Technology. Yeah, baby. Thank you. Throw that mug in under the purse. And as I said, I gotta get my mind right. Get your mind right. So anyway, I was saying that we are responsible when we walk away.
That's right.
We're responsible when we don't listen. We're responsible when we allow other people to even begin to think, to plant anything in our mind. Psalm chapter 1. Let's go there. Psalm 1. Lord, help us to take on a whole new meaning. Psalm 1. Help us take on a whole new meaning. Thank you, Jesus. I thank the Lord. He's exposing where we're getting kind of slicked up. Where it's sneaking up on us. It's information and casual conversation and just a little innocent news. But those things are, that's information that's flowing into our ear gate and our and eye gate. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to be more discerning even. And if you don't really, well, I don't know you, then don't watch nothing. Don't social media nowhere. Those aren't proper English, but I don't care. Don't nowhere. Because I'm not ready yet. You got to realize I'm not ready to receive, or I'm not ready to distinguish things and which one is Satan and which one is God, or which one is look like God, but really not God. Yeah, he's subtle. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's what we're doing. We're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth, you know the walk, sit, stand. Walk, stand, sit. Standing, so the ungodly is speaking to us, just like they're doing in the world concerning race and all of those things and social justice and all of those words and Black Lives Matter. And they're putting this stuff in our ears and we're walking, then we're stopping, like, okay, could you stop and like, okay, wow, that's interesting. Okay, yeah, right, yeah. Look, the barkeeper. And then next thing you know, man, come on, let's get a cup of coffee. Let's just sit down and talk about this. Then we're not sitting. See, blessed man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. We're sitting down, drinking a latte. We even took a seat. Before we know it, before we understand it, we're playing with fire. We're ready to riot and we're ready to do all kind of things that are not godly. You got thoughts coming in your mind that's not right. You're unloving. I'm talking myself too. I'm guilty. I got slipped up. This takes on a whole new meaning. Blessed is the man, not man, male, man, mankind, the child of God, son or daughter, who does not walk in the counsel. Remember, the ungodly. Is it the counsel of the word of God or the counsel of the ungodly? That's the battle. Are we walking in the wisdom that is from above? Or are we walking in the wisdom that is earthly and demonic? James 2. There's only two wisdom. There's only two counselors. There's only two fathers. There's only two words, if you will. A word from God or a word from Satan. There is no middle ground. It is our duty to get the word, to understand the word. That's why the psalmist kept saying in Psalm 119 over and over again, teach me your statute, teach me your command, teach me your law. Make me understand. Baby, when I'm letting that thing just play over and over again, I'm praying. Oh, Peter, make me understand. I'm putting some emphasis on that, make me. Because I need you. Teach me. Because if not, I'll fall up. I'm so dumb. And I'm so weak. And I'm so mortal. And I'm so finite that I'll fall for anything apart from you. Yes, Lord. Period. So help us not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. Help us not stand in the way of sinners. Help us not sit in the seat of the scoffers. Like we've been doing in certain phases and degrees over these last 8 months. Help our delight to be in your word, your law. And in your word, your law, we meditate day and night. Look at the result in verse 3. And he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and leaf does not wither, and all that he does prospers. You're like a tree planted by water. So that means you are firm, you're nourished, you're strong, immovable. You're not bending and rolling with every wind of doctrine that's coming through the whole social stuff. Fooey on that, man. I'm so glad of this teaching for me, because that'll never happen again. You best believe that. And I can say that because my boasting is in the power of God and me using it. I got power. You got power. We have power. We have knowledge. We have understanding. We have the Holy Spirit. And he said, we are not ignorant of his devices. And this is a device, when you deal with ethnicity and culture and things of that nature, boy, that's a device that's really slicky.
very emotional, and can pull you out of your hookup in a heartbeat. But I thank God for the exposure. Amen. This is how we operate. Amen. And this is how he operates. Yes. Now take note, my children, by the Holy Ghost. Take note. This is a fault line. It's an area of quote unquote race and ethnicity and culture. It's a fault line. It's a crack there. Lord God, we need you to seal it in the name of Jesus. Yes. Oh, let the church say amen.
Amen.
You need to seal it right in there. Because yeah. I realize this through this ordeal, this is the weakness of mine. And I'm just got to be honest with you. And it's not about not getting along with white folks. That's not it. It's just the attitude behind the whole situation. You know, going back to the history and things like that, you can't be all up in there like that. To the point that you don't discern and break things down. And what do these mean? What does this really mean? All right, let's go back. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Look at verse 12. Psalm 119, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Here we go. Teach me your statutes, which is word. I'm sending them for word. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. Not parts of them, not the ones that I like and everything. But then when I'm thinking ethnically, then I don't go to the rules of your mouth. That's why I brought that verse in here. When we're thinking ethnically, we don't declare all the rules. We declare some of the rules, but the ones that we don't quite like or ain't thought about or whatever, we ain't declaring that. So we got to stand firm with the prayer, because this is a prayer. With my lips, I declare all the rules. Lord, help me declare all your rules, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter what's going on. I'm going to declare all of your rules. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Do we really? Sometimes we do, but other times there are other things going on that causes us not to delight as much as in our riches. We're not delighting in it at all. We're not even turning to it. But the scary part is we don't even know that that's what's happening, that we're no longer delighting in his testimonies, that we're no longer allowing the word of God to be our counselor. That's the scary part. We have no idea that we're allowing someone else to counsel us, to someone else to guide us, that we're walking in their counsel, sitting with the sinners and the scornful. That's what's so scary. That's why I want you to understand. Consequences have ideas. It's not just, oh, that's just an idea. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. Ideas have consequences. Ideas lead to ideologies. Mm-hmm. Ideologies are the gasoline to movements. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. That's why we need to meditate on your precepts and fix our eyes on your ways. Fix our eyes on your ways. Fix our eyes where? On the TV, on the social media, on the societies, whatever. No, on your ways. Fix them. I will delight in your word, your statutes. I will not forget your word. Skip down to verse, yes, I'm going to do that ad nauseum. Skip down to verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe to the end. Give me understanding, there it is, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. And I'm going to add, and not to the things of this world. Incline my heart to your word and not to the world. Mm-hmm. Skip down to verse 97. Oh, skip over, whatever, to verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. Do we really? I don't want to be a part-time lover. Amen. I don't want to be a part-time lover. Oh, I love it now because it makes you feel good. But this right here, no, we want to love your law It is my meditation all the day, except when there's racial and ethnic unrest and things, and then pandemics and things going on and murder in the streets, and we just can't ride. We just got in the presidential thing. So other than that, it's my meditation all the day. No. No. Let me go back to my other note right quick. Identity. Let's go back to the other. Remember, identity, again, is the state of remaining the same under varying aspects or conditions. Sameness of essential character in different instances and circumstances. The condition of being oneself and not another, regardless of what's happening. That's identity. Once that's who you are, that's who you are. Don't be chameleon in nature. Don't be Dr. Jekyll, we must hide. I mean, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Stay firm. Stay fixed. Stay set. Why, that's what he does when he sets yourself right. He'll make you, he'll establish you. He'll strengthen you. He'll settle you. Your trees planted by the waters. And the thing about it, that tree is just getting thicker and stronger, and the roots are going deeper because they're just water feeding it, right? Feeding that root system all the time. And then some, he didn't say just like a tree. He said planted by streams of water, meaning the root system being fed all the time. You just stir firm and thick and strong and immovable and fixed and settled and set. Hallelujah. When that wind, bro, that tree ain't moving. You know, redwoods in California, they say grow, I don't know, almost a mile wide and circular. I mean, just massive. That's who we gotta be, sister. And you get that by meditating the word day and night, understanding the word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. 98. Your commandment, Psalm 119, 98. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. You can't be wiser than your enemies if you're siding with the enemy. You know, come on, preacher, that's a little strong. I mean, you just gonna tell me I'm siding with the devil. When you agree with them, yes, you are siding with the devil. When they counsel you, we're siding with them. It's not being dramatic. It's not being extra. We need to hear that. So before we watch a newscast, before we do anything like that, before any of that goes on, we need to recognize, okay, what am I about to do here? Am I going to sit up under this, let this wash over me, let junk enter my ear gate? Am I mature enough to discern and take apart and separate the good from the bad? Have I reached the Hebrews 5 status where I'm mature enough to discern good and evil because I practice, have my senses trained to discern between what is good and what is evil? Am I ready for that quote unquote game, that level of competition? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Oh man, it ain't nothing but the news. No little social media, man, you getting a little strange. Well, you got to realize the consequences have ideas have consequences. Everything starts with a thought. Well, what about we just don't bump God? You know, I got feelings for a girl and I'm a female. Why can't I just, you know, that's an idea. Way back ago. And they said, well, you know, we ought to have the rights as heterosexual couples, married couples. We ought to have rights. We ought to be able to marry too. And then boom, there's an idea. 2015, the year of the Obergefell decision. Boom, there it is. It's not legal now. You know, it's all sorts of ideas. Got the two Harvard law professors, professors, one in marketing, one in psychology. that's a dangerous combination, because one knows how to get the idea out to put it out, then one knows how to, you know, spread it out with marketing. Notugu, Kirk, and Madsen got together and made a book, After the Ball. Subtitle, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 90s. That's a gangster statement. Not how we're going to try to convince them. You know, we're going to do our best. No, how America will conquer. Will. We're going to make this happen. And they certainly did. Ideas lead to ideologies. Ideologies fuel movements. Do not take listening to the news, listening to social media, reading certain articles lightly. Make sure you and Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost with you are there together reading this article. I'm going to go so far as to say, Lord, ask the Lord before you even read it. Should I read this? So listen to the news. Should I do this? Should I do that? Yes, ask. Because we have taken a lot of junk into our worldview, and we don't even realize it. Absolutely. I keep reminding you, he's the most subtle beast. He's not just loud and proud. Hey, I'm going to try to trick you from the things of God. Man, ain't no megaphone in that dude's repertoire. It's stealthily, sneakily. And he sounds just like the word. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we'll get to that. That's why, that's how he dupes you. That can kind of get you to kind of listen. That sounds sort of right. Let me listen a little bit more. And if you're not discerning, if you don't understand his commandments, if you haven't meditated them all day and you love it, and you meditated all day, that you know it and understand it, you are a prime candidate for being duped, tricked through his subtlety. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Yes, because you're wise, because the word of God gave you the understanding and not a secular understanding. Therefore, I have understanding than all my teachers. You've outgrown those who folks have taught you. For your testimonies are my meditation. Again, it says that. Verse 20, I understand more than the age, for I keep your precept. Notice the understanding. Don't, who's causing you to understand what? And is that a proper godly understanding? Skip down to verse 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You cannot even identify a false way unless you understand the word of God. We're not understanding the false way. We're joining up in the false way. We're joining the movements. Not realizing there's a false way there. Through your word, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. See that the word is what guides me. That's another word for counselors. It guides me. It's a lamp to my feet. If the lamp isn't there, I don't know where I'm going. I'm bumping into stuff. And that's what's happening. We're bumping into stuff because the word is not leading us. The light is not on. When we're accepting information, wisdom, counsel from out there, it's dark, it's demonic, it's sensual. So the light isn't on. So we're bumping all kinds of things. Don't even realize. Toes stub, toenails cracked. Comes in and bumping up, got forehead, a knot this size on the foot. Could be the bumped into everything. The light isn't on. The word is the only lamp. The word is the only light. It's the only guide. It's the only informer. It's the only counselor. Why? Why? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Wow, 45 minutes. It's just barely the beginning of the introduction. Jeez. Well, it's needed. It's needed. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Wise word of God, all that. Verse 16.
Okay.
No pressure. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So just let me know when you find it. Take your time. Take your time. Just raise your hand when you find it. Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, you got
chapter 3?
Yeah, chapter 3 and verse 16. You got it? Okay, thank you. All scripture. Or is it half of scripture?
All.
Three quarters scripture?
All.
Scriptures except during pandemics and ethnic unrest.
All.
Oh, okay, I got a smile. I'm glad somebody smiled. Because it seems like we say all, but we mean just during, if it's all peaceful, then it's all scripture. But if it's pandemics and ethnic unrest and riots in the street, then all of a sudden it's not all scripture anymore. It's some scripture, part of scripture. And what a blasphemy to our Heavenly Father that His children begin listening to out there. What a blasphemy. No, all scripture, all the time. All scripture is breathed out by God. And profitable. All of it is profitable. I don't care if you read the genealogies. He said all of it. All means all. All means all. All of it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God and the woman of God and the people of God may be completely equipped for every good work. That does not come from out there. That's why the word is a lamp and a light. That's why we need to get understanding concerning the word of God. That's why it causes you to be wise, because it comes from God and all of it is profitable. Amen. It'll teach you what social justice is properly, proper, biblical social justice. Proper, biblical racism and things of that nature. Look at Psalm 33, Psalm 33, verse 11. You don't know how much joy this brings me, because I want to be better. I want to be a better child of God. I want to be more conformed to His image. You can best believe Jesus only paid attention to God. They were, the word of God was His counsel forever, amen, while He was here on this earth. I want to be like that. Psalm 33, verse 11, did I tell you?
Yes.
The counsel of the Lord stands forever. I mean, is that not crystal clear? Why do we let any other one give us counsel? The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. Not the fleeting counsel of the ungodly. That appears to be true for a moment until it's disproven by the counsel of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, April Lou. When the word of God is not our counselor. We were already hit it, but go back to verse 10 again. When the word of God is not our counselor. Verse 10 again, with my whole heart, I seek you, let me not wander. When it's not our counselor, we wander from His word. We drift off. Remember the light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and light to my path? Yeah, that's talking about your walking and path. When we wander, the light isn't there, right? The lamp isn't lit. We go off course. Because there's a path there, but we all... And we don't even know it. Staggering all off down here somewhere. The danger in not letting it be your counselor is that it causes you to wander off the path of God's word.
Amen.
And the way of God. And you know this one. Look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Take your time. Yeah, if you got to look in the index in the front, that's fine too. Just look in the front, yeah? In the index there from the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 4. Take your time. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Yeah, take your time. Just raise your hand when you get there. Glory be to God. I don't have a principle coming down. Chapter 4 and verse 6. I don't have a principle coming down. Looking over my shoulder saying, hey, dude, did you get through this lesson today? Thank you, Lord. You got it? Okay. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So when you are receiving the knowledge and the counsel and the wisdom from out there, then you're lacking proper knowledge. That wisdom, secular wisdom, destroys. Mm-hmm. Whereas the wisdom that's from above is first peaceable, gentle, and leads to righteousness. So when you lack biblical, godly, holy knowledge, we're destroyed. Why? Because we rejected knowledge. They said, well, now, hold on now, you're getting a little you're just doing too much. Well, you maybe didn't know you were rejecting biblical knowledge. I know rejecting biblical knowledge, but when we accept that knowledge that's against the word of God, that's what we've done.
Can't you just be a little bit like Joel Osteen and just be a little nicer, man? You gotta say it like that. Just be nice. Remember, that's the new 11th commandment. I wrote it.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. Okay. No, that's what we're doing. And we need pastors to tell the congregation, hey, that's what you're doing. When you accept that knowledge, when you accept that wisdom and you turn to those things out there, what you're already doing is rejecting the knowledge of God. Is that not a fair statement, word of life?
Amen.
He said, I reject you for being a priest to me, and since you have forgotten the law of your God, I'll forget the children. It's rejection and a forgetting of God's law in favor of accepting that out there. Blessed is a man, a woman, a boy, and a girl, and a child of God that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scoffers. We're sitting with people that scoff at God. And that's something. How dare we? How dare we accept any of their ideas and their ideologies? How dare we even parrot their phrasing without thoroughly looking into what's behind the scenes? And that's what we're going to get into next week. We're going to show you the terms that seem great on the outside, but when you get into it a little closer, no. So you need to know those things. So we set it up first by saying, hey, the word of God is our counsel. Let's not reject the word of God. It is our knowledge. It is our wisdom. It is our everything. It is forever settled, and it comes from an eternal holy God. And it is profitable, meaning it is self-sufficient all by itself. You don't need Ta-Nehisi Coates. You don't need Robin DiAngelo. And I'll get to those names. You don't need that. You don't need that. Amen. What an insult when a pastor tells another pastor, you know, man, when I read the book by, I don't know if it's Robin DiAngelo, some out there, White Privilege and all those books out there. When I read the book, I understood the word of God better. Like, dude, you telling me, like, really? You really saying that to me? That you want to take the secular demonic wisdom to understand a spiritual God? How crazy does that sound? How disturbing is that? It's not God plus. It's not the word of God plus. It's not the blood of Jesus plus. It's only. Amen. The sola fide grace, sola gracia, grace alone. Fide, faith alone. Sola Deo Gloria, to the glory for the glory of God alone. No, it's not in the right order. But it's grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, alone, alone. Your word is a lamp, because your word is all I need. All scripture is God-breathed, all of it, and all of it is profitable. You need nothing else. Thank you, Lord. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let's believe it, please. Yes. Stop listening to the counsel of the ungodly and the wicked. And look at that terminology that appears to be biblical, but in the end, it is not. Getting ahead of myself. We'll talk about that next week. Ah, my baby does plenty of time. Just a deep breath sometimes before she prays, because it's so full of the power of God and the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, your word is a lamp. It's the only lamp. Hallelujah. It's the only light. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. We got to get it. Woo, we got to get it. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. There is no other lamp. There is no other light. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is no other wisdom. There is no other knowledge. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we've sinned against you, listening to the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in those who scoff and make a mockery of you. Please forgive us. We repent of our sins in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm guilty this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God Almighty. You are forgiving God. Hallelujah. I confess my sin before you. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you. Oh, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Because that sin could have struck me down right there. Oh, my Lord and my God. But you saw fit to have mercy on my soul. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord God Almighty. Oh, you're such a merciful God. Oh, you're such a loving God. You're such a patient. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, you're a patient God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, you're so patient. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just thank you for exposing the enemy. Ah, thank you for exposing the enemy. Hallelujah. He was so slick. He was so subtle. Oh, I didn't see it. Oh, but God. Oh, but God. Oh, but God. Being faithful. Being merciful. Being compassionate. Being loving. Hallelujah. Being kind and gracious. Oh, you had mercy. You had mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that you're the God of the 98th chance. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we repent. We repent. We repent in sackcloth and ashes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ah, we will do better. Because we can do better. My auntie says, T. Brenda, when you know better, you do better. Amen. Today, I've learned to know better. Yes, and I promise you, I'm going to do better. Amen. So I can be a better pastor to your people. Yes. A better husband to my wife. Amen. A better father to my daughters. Yes. A better friend to those who are friends. And a better citizen in this society. All to bring you all the glory, amen, all the honor. I will let my light so shine before men, amen, that they may see our good works and glorify you. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. We will not reject your knowledge. We will not forget your law, oh God. Amen. We will remember it with our whole heart. We're going to seek you. We thank you that you keep us from wandering from your commandments.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name,
thank you, Lord.
Amen.